If you have spent any time around our content or social media, one of the things you know is that we heavily utilise container gardening in our northern growing efforts. The primary reason behind this is that containers allow very rapid soil warming in our extreme northern climate. We have come to the conclusion that this is as important, if not more so, than warmer ambient air temperatures. As such, we have many articles here that discuss the basics, our methods, and various topics around container gardening. Over the decades of growing food in containers, however, we have come to a number of more advanced solutions and methods that help solve some of the underlying issues with growing plants in containers. This article will focus more on these more advanced topics when it comes to growing food in containers. Solve the irrigation problems with container gardens. One of the biggest challenges of growing in containers involves water. Most plants need a lot of water to maintain their health. Containers, however, highly limit the root systems of the plants we grow in them. It is important to provide our plants with adequate amounts of soil. However, there are limits to how practical this can be. No matter what we do, we cannot recreate the ground. These limitations ultimately limit how deep and wide the plants can reach for water. Developing a strategy for keeping the container garden well irrigated is essential to the sanity of the grower. Remember, your labour is also a limiting factor. There are several ways to approach solutions to this issue. Examples include automated drip irrigation, hydroponic-based systems, sub-irrigation methods with centralised reservoirs flood and drain of reservoirs gravity-based systems. Timer-based system, there are certainly other ways to solve irrigation of container gardens, of course. But we would encourage the advanced container gardener to pursue methods that do not rely on the gardener themselves. For our gardens, we heavily rely on the theory of gravity. Though still a theory, it is the most reliable thing we have. It beats electricity, pumps, technology, and countless other ideas. When the container garden's irrigation is well thought out, it can really begin to excel as a gardening solution. Without it, the container garden is labour-intensive and will likely experience frequent droughts. Develop a thorough nutritional strategy. In the same vein as water access, the same factors also work to limit the nutritional uptake by plants within the container garden. When the soil becomes exhausted of nutrients, the plant cannot simply grow more roots to get more food. What this means is that the nutritional strategy used on the container garden is important. It is usually not enough to add a bit of compost and call it a season. In our container gardening practices, we have determined that the use of fertilisers is absolutely critical. While we have our opinions on organic versus inorganic nutrition, the debate does not functionally matter for this purpose. This is also one of the reasons why we have heavily favoured water-soluble fertilisers. Reapplication of the fertiliser is much easier, whereas granular fertilisers require top dressing and natural drainage into the root structure. Furthermore, what we have found to work well is the continual application of these fertilisers. Single-application fertilisers will have a tendency towards certain nutrients being used heavily, while others go less used. The uptake of nutrients by the plants is outside the control of the grower, so an imbalance of NPK and micronutrients is inevitable. We would argue having too much of something is a better outcome than occasional droughts of critical nutrition. The grower can solve this through regular applications of fertilizer, typically based around the manufacturer's application rates. So, as an example, if the plant draws down the supply of nitrogen, it will be readily replenished. When you develop solid, continual nutritional strategies, the container garden can truly excel. Plants have what they need when they need it. Correct the pH of the soil. One of the things we have observed with long-term use of container gardens is the tendency for them to run acidic. We have studied and discussed this topic extensively, resulting in a hypothesis that it is likely common to see imbalance in the container garden. The primary reason is the isolated or contained nature of container garden soil. The typical natural systems that help balance a more ideal pH are not able to work at the same level as they do with in-ground gardens. This problem is further exacerbated if you grow intensively in containers like we do. Even more so if you reuse soil from season to season, despite attempts to reinvigorate it with new compost. As such, we have found it to be a beneficial practice to use pH buffers to correct the pH of water and water-soluble fertilizer additions. The goal here is to correct the pH of the inputs into the system, which will help the soil arrive around that desired pH. Most plants prefer slightly acidic soils, typically around 5.8 to 6.5, though soil pH outside of ideal will still be adequate for growing plants. It can start to introduce nutrient uptake issues. If the goal is to achieve optimal plant growth with limited root structure, then the grower must also focus on optimal nutritional uptake. Supplement beneficial bacteria. One of the things that has become much more profound to us as long-term container gardeners is the containment aspect of container gardening. As we thought about this more and more, the potential impacts of soil isolation are immense. An important example of this is beneficial bacteria and the general microbial health of the soil. Given that container garden soil is isolated, the introduction and replenishment of beneficial bacteria and microbes is virtually non-existent. Those bacteria are not climbing the wall of your container and diving in. One of the methods the grower can employ improved microbial health is by focusing on mycorrhizae. You can introduce this into your soil through potting soils, but there are also soil-based supplements that add it as well. We also practice supplementation of other soil bacteria, particularly through commercially available products like Bacillus amylolycifacens. This bacteria is introduced through either watering or during the application of water-soluble fertilizers. This is a beneficial bacteria in your soil already. It is naturally occurring. We are simply talking about increasing their numbers within the container garden's isolated environment. If one does a deep dive into Bacillus amylolycifacens, you will find it is almost a wonder bug. It works to prevent disease, acts as a plant growth stimulant. It improves plant stress response and can inhibit soil pathogens. While it is likely impossible to fully simulate supplementation of all natural bacteria, there are many benefits to supplementing some. The gardener is working with natural processes, but that gardener can also aid those natural processes to be more thorough and effective. Get your plant counts right. When trying to grow intensively in containers, getting the right plant counts for your container, S size is of understated importance. With only so much soil available to the plants, plant competition has potential to reduce the growth rates and potential of all the plants within the container-based growing system. Yet, it is often optimal to grow more than one of any given plant to fully optimize both the growing space and the use of soil. The point is, this is a careful balance. While there are sort of guidelines, like perhaps square foot gardening, the container garden is also a very different environment from where square foot gardening is typically practiced. Ultimately, we have found huge benefits by adjusting plant counts that we grow in a given container. There is not a singular set of guidance here. Sometimes more is less. Sometimes less is more. We encourage the container grower to experiment with and adjust plant counts, possibly even going so far as to test different levels of growing intensity within a season. You can see our experiments in our image above. We tried 2, 3, and 4 corn plants in a 5-gallon bucket. What you will likely find is that for each major genus of plant you grow, there are an optimal number of plants that allows complete consumption of the soil without contributing to too much competition. Understand your plant's root structures. When it comes to in-ground gardening, the grower often has no clue of what the plant's root structure looks like or how large it is. There are rough guidelines, such as the plant's roots being approximately the same size and depth as the plant is wide and tall. But that is not universal. One of the advantages the container gardener has is the ability to inspect the plant. S roots upon plant removal. This allows the inspection of soil utilization and compaction of those roots. an optimal container-grown plant will completely consume the soil it is given. This allows the plant maximum access to water, nutrition, and growth potential. Knowledge of this topic can also help form perspective on plant counts, as discussed above. When you understand how a tomato grows, you understand why only one tomato should be grown in each container. You also understand why a given container might support 6 to 8 bush beans. Some species will simply root lightly. So, complete consumption of the soil is not always the goal. If you observe extreme root compaction, this tells the grower a few things. For example, the plant will need heavier amounts of water. It will also need heavier levels of nutrition. It will also likely benefit from more soil. Whereas if you observe light rooting, this is telling you that less water and less nutrition will likely be needed. It might also tell the grower that there is room to grow more plants in that same soil. Develop good long-term practices with your container garden soil. As we have discussed here and elsewhere, we practice the reuse of our container garden soil from season to season. The container garden is different from the typical in-ground garden or raised bed. Supplementation of things like compost is not as obviously done in the container garden. But that does not make the practice any less important. We remove our plants from our containers each season, piling up the soil for the winter months. This allows for a few beneficial things. Rain or snow melt can wash the soil natural bulk, build up of natural microbial soil systems, the composting of root structures, a simulated crop rotation strategy evening out of residual NPK in the spring, we practice the addition of compost during our container filling process. We simply mix compost in with our reused soil, typically in a wheelbarrow, prior to filling our growing containers. The grower can also amend the soil with additional additives at this time. Examples could be a granular fertilizer, but it might also be the replenishment of things like perlite, sand, vermiculite, coquequa, or peat moss. We look at our container garden soil as a long-term investment. It was expensive to make, so it is a good idea to take care of it. The concepts used within in-ground or raised bed gardens are not any less relevant to the container garden. If anything, they are more important, since you have less natural systems aiding you with contained soil. Develop a cost of operation and usage strategy. There is little doubt that container gardens can be slightly expensive to get into. Between the container cost, irrigation costs, and especially the setup tear-down labour involved with a container garden. For us, that implies that a given crop has to be worth growing in this more expensive growing method. Getting value out of a container garden means utilising its benefits to the maximum extent possible. The plants grown with the method should benefit the most from that method. Certainly, almost any crop can be grown in containers. The real question is, should it? Examples of our container utilisation strategies. High-value fruits like tomatoes, peppers and cucumbers benefit from soil warmth herbs are high value. Moderately benefiting from soil warmth corn highly benefits from warmer soils, aiding in maturity, earlier tassels, silk production and thus more complete pollination beans highly benefit from warmer soil temperatures. Therefore, the container garden increases our production high rotation crops like radish, or bok choy, do not fully utilise the soil or benefit from the soil warming characteristics of the container, so we do not grow these crops in containers for us. Even though we could grow less valuable crops like lettuce in a container, we would prefer to grow these crops using less expensive growing techniques. Short season or short cycle crops are another example. If the crop's growth results in excessive downtime for the growing container, we are not getting value from it. That growing space is better served by a full-season crop. This concept of crop value is highly personalised, though. Our perception of value can be very different from your perception of value. There is not a single viewpoint here. The point is that matching crop value to the cost of operation helps maximise the cost-benefit of the container garden. Build it once, build it right. We have been growing veggies and herbs in containers for most of our gardening history, even before we were growing in the far north. Once we had established that container gardening was going to be a solid part of our northern growing strategy, we did not cut any corners. We purchased exactly the system that we wanted. We did not try to save a buck or make any concessions about the equipment or systems we wanted to use. Now, we were not reckless about it. We purchased our current container garden systems in phases. At first, to be certain, it was the system we wanted, but furthermore, to distribute costs over time. We will tell you, we are really happy with our choices for our container garden. We pretty much set it up in the spring, and it is on autopilot for the entire growing season with minimal inputs. Yes, it is a lot of work to set up and tear down, but the cost of the system has no bearing on the work involved with operating a container garden. When you make concessions on cost or design of the container garden, it can erode your trust in the method and reduce your satisfaction with the solution. High-quality equipment will last longer. Cheap stuff will break down and have you spending time fixing things. Gardening, by its nature, features periods of investment. Whether that is building a garden, building raised beds, or building a container garden, invest wisely. Have spares, I mean, keep it well maintained. One of the perspectives we have after operating container gardens for decades is the long-term outlook. Even if you buy very high-quality equipment, entropy is an unavoidable aspect of everything. Things will eventually break or need maintenance, especially over a long enough time frame. Having spare equipment and the things you need to keep a container garden in top shape is a good idea. It sucks when small, stupid things derail your plans. This is especially true for us northern growers. The harsh winters are not kind on equipment, often accelerating the inevitable destruction of things. We try to maintain spare gear of those things necessary for the operation of our container gardens. This is also true of supporting systems like irrigation parts and other things. When things break on us, it is not a disaster. We have what is needed to fix the problem and keep things working how we need them to. Lastly, clean your container garden gear. Gardening is a dirty job, but that is not an excuse to keep things dirty. Cleaning your equipment can go a long way in extending the life of things and increasing the pleasure of using your gear. That is what we have to say about that. Hopefully you enjoyed some of our insight into advanced container gardening methods and techniques. We really tried to think of the most important things that impact the satisfaction and success of our container gardens. These things have been valuable for you, or if you have any questions, feel free to put a comment down below. We love engaging with our readers.